Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
And welcome to episode 109 of the Talking Hockey Podcast.
Yeah. Last week I thought it was 109, but I was wrong. Today's 109.
Good job. Great.
So, yeah, thank you.
We got
is it
Martin.
Labeled 109 on Spotify?
No, it's labeled 108. It was after we recorded that I realized it was wrong.
Nice.
And but Ty still said 109 in the intro because that's what was in the Zencaster title. So,
and Ty's not here this week. We only got Martin, Luke, and Eric here, and we'll be talking about a little bit of controversy. I feel like this conversation comes up every single year, but the conversation around the extra points, should they get more points for regulation wins? I know Florida has been like killing it because of their 3-on-3 overtime wins. And then there was a tweet by Ken Campbell about the controversy around banning Russian players versus banning U.S. players during a certain invasion into a certain country that we can talk about. Stamkos hitting 100 points, and then we'll talk a few other things maybe later on. Austin Matthews hitting 60 goals, McDavid being slightly better defensively. Interesting.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer, Luke, here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
I think we could talk literally about how much we could talk about the Oilers quite a bit and just how much of a, I think, discredit since Woodcroft or whatever, I think it's Woodcroft, right?
Yeah.
He's come in, like how much Dave Tippett sucks as a coach.
Yeah.
Because there's really no excuse for how good they've been. Like they've changed their advanced analytics are
expected goals against, expected goals for, everything's improved. And obviously they were on like a bit of a they were a little unlucky with shooting.
Yeah.
And they were a little unlucky with goaltending, but like everything's improved.
Yeah, everything's improved. I think we could talk a little bit about that too.
But it also could be, I mean, we'll start with that and then we'll go to everything else. But it could also be, you know, the new coach bump that happens with a lot of teams. And then next year he just because I think Dave Tippett came in and their numbers improved a bit originally, and then cratered back down again. So it could just be the new coach. Everyone's trying
to
impress.
Could be that they're getting goaltending.
Yeah, getting goaltending. Maybe they're a bit more confident because of it. That sort of thing.
Yeah, I think it's I've been thinking about it, and I just forgot to mention it last week. But like, I think it is more of a discredit to Tippett than anything else. And I don't know, like I don't watch Oilers games, but it seems from what I've seen from like Jay Fresh and some other people that clip together games, it seems more of like a systems change than anything else. Like, and that's a coaching thing.
Yeah.
So I would argue that, I mean, yeah, the coaching bump probably helps, but the fact that they did it in season, in a jam-packed season, like a season that many coaches have talked about there not being many practices and whatnot, I think it's pretty impressive what he's done. and deserves some credit.
To add to that, McDavid, I think, deserves some credit because, if you look at, all the analytics, his defensive numbers have improved, dramatically. If you look at everyone who listens to this podcast knows, the evolving hockey charts, and it usually, the expected goals against is, three standard deviations of red below everyone else in the league, and recently it's been closer to one, which means he's been better than average defensively this season specifically.
Yeah,
so that's quite a turnaround. So I don't think he's going to get credit for that in the playoffs if they lose. I think everyone's going to talk about his defensive game and how it's not good, and that's the reason the Oilers aren't going to win the playoffs or whatever. But if they do win, I think everyone's going to talk about how Connor McDavid had his Stevie Y moment and kind of turned into a defensive god all of a sudden, and that's why the Oilers won a series. So the narrative is just going to change depending on if the Oilers win a playoff series or not. If they win, everyone's going to say McDavid was great defensively. If they lose, they're going to say that McDavid sucks defensively, and that's why they lost.
Depending I don't know.
How goalie they get.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't think people aren't going to blame it on the goalie, though. I think they'll blame it on McDavid at this point.
I think McDavid gets a huge leash of blame in Edmonton and everywhere else.
I mean,
I think he gets a long leash.
I just saw this
longer leash
come across my screen. Okay, guess the point lead McDavid has over the last 5 years ahead of everyone else. How many points do you think?
80.
Close. Martin?
85.
No, 50. But oh. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Not 50. 70. Sorry. Okay. 70. Sorry, not 50.
Said so.
So almost exactly 70 points difference. Actually, exactly 70 points difference. Guess who's second behind McDavid, though?
Matthews.
Kucherov.
Dreisaitl. Kucherov missed a whole season, remember? You take him out of the running kind of immediately. But Dreisaitl second with 478. And then the difference between Dreisaitl number three is McKinnon, and there's a 30-point gap. Which isn't... those are the gaps. It's 70 points to Dreisaitl, then another 20 to McKinnon. And then it's another 20.
What's the even strength McKinnon. Point gap?
That's a
it's
good
probably
question.
Like, it's probably like five. It's probably not that drastic.
But at the same time, all the guys at the top pile up power play points. McKinnon on Colorado's power play piles them up. Patrick Kane, it's Patrick Kane. He plays 4 minutes a game on the power play in Chicago. Brad Marchand, Boston's power play, lighting it up. So, all those guys rely heavily on power play points. So, yeah.
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 No, it's fair. I don't know.
Marner's 9
and
Matthews is 10, for anyone wondering. Yeah.
I feel like Matthews and Marner, this year is, the first year I think that they're, quite a bit above a point per game average. I don't think,
they're usually around 90... Point,
yeah, they're usually around 90.
That.
This is the first year where you could call
them really blown
dominant.
It out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But over the last 5 years, they've been consistent, which is why they're so high up. Kucherov would be top five probably if he didn't spend 1.5 seasons gone. Right?
Yeah.
So there's
he's got
65
points in 44 games this year. Yeah. So that's a 120-point pace almost.
Yeah, like this better? I definitely like that there's so many players over 100 points. This is way more fun to me.
This is way better.
Mm-hmm. I hope they don't do anything to fuck it up.
Well, I was looking at all the numbers on exactly why the goal scoring has gone up, and it's not more shots. It's not.
There hasn't been more shots than normal.
Yeah, there's no more shots than normal. The only difference is I think teams are getting better shots off. That's basically it. So I think teams have migrated away a little bit more from point shots towards maybe slot chances, outer slot chances, those sort of things, which have obviously a higher chance of going in. And
was
the goaltending
analytics.
Well, that's advanced analytics, but then also goaltending has been slightly worse too. Even accounting for the shot selection. So I don't know if that's just randomness or players getting better. or what it is. No, I don't think anyone has good
right because answer. Price wasn't Price yeah, didn't play
it's
all
because
year.
Price didn't play, so therefore the entire league average. Dude, people were actually saying that though. I'm not even kidding. I saw the comments and there were people like, oh, Price wasn't playing and Tuukka Rask was, you know, retired and all this stuff, and that's the reason why all these averages for the entire league dropped that much. It isn't a huge drop though. It's like 909 versus 910 or something like that. Or like 908 versus 909 or something. Like, it's a small difference, but that difference over thousands and thousands of shots is, you know, actually quite a few extra goals that are going in, right?
Yeah. So, I like it. I think it's entertaining. I think it's fun that scoring's up, and I don't know. I always, Anthony Stewart, whenever he talks, it's the worst thing. I wish he never opened his mouth, but he was talking on Hockey Night in Canada the other day about how, like, oh, in the playoffs, the defensive teams win. And I'm like, bro, shut the fuck up. Like, you always need to score more goals.
And if you look at it, the teams that have won over the last decade are some of the higher scoring teams almost every time without fail.
And there was actually a really good piece I read.
I read
a good piece. I think it was in The Score. I mean, it wasn't a long one, but it was about the St. Louis Blues, about how they've shifted from, like, a really physical team that they were 4 years ago, even when they won the cup, to now being like a very high skill, high scoring team.
Yeah, Robert
and
Thomas.
Like they're averaging five goals over their last 16 games or something like that. Like,
it's
not a physical, like, defense still matters, don't get me wrong, but most of the time it is relying on a goalie to carry you or at least stop more goals than expected than it is about defense.
Just ask Martin. He drafted, what was it, Jordan Kyrou you drafted, Martin, in our fantasy league? And he's killed it, right? Like, absolutely dominated. So, yeah, there's that. Anyways, moving on from that for a second. Ken Campbell. This is a beefy topic, and I think Luke will like it. So
I think we've talked about it a little bit before.
Yeah, I think so too, but this is good. So, Ken Campbell, formerly of the Hockey News, and now I think he just runs his own newsletter on Substack. So he tweeted out, "That's strange. I must have missed it when the Canadian Hockey League banned U.S.-born players from being drafted into junior hockey in 2003 over their country's immoral and intellectually dishonest invasion of Iraq." And then just dropped the mic, literally. And it has it was posted a couple hours ago, and it has 170 retweets and 1500 likes, give or take. So, you know, it's starting to go kind of viral. He's obviously posting this in reference to the CHL banning Russian players or Russian kids from being eligible to be drafted into junior hockey because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. We don't need to talk about the invasion or anything like that from, you know, doesn't have to be from a political standpoint, but it is interesting.
Considering every news agency has talked about that for the last month and a half.
Yeah, but it is, I think he's making a good point, which is that, well, first off, it's not some 16-year-old's fault that his country's leader.
It's a good point.
I mean, if you're getting drafted in the CHL, what, you're 15 years old, right?
16, yeah.
15, 16 years old. So it's not their fault that their president invaded the Ukraine. They don't have anything to do with it. Having said that, now, there's probably a bunch of them that support him, but they don't know any better, right? Mm-hmm. Do I think that's a good reason to ban them? No, because first off, they might join the CHL and see the news from outside the Russian perspective, maybe. And besides the point, countries do crappy things all the time and we don't go banning them from leagues, right? Yeah. And I think that's the point he made, right? Like, the invasion of Iraq was completely dishonest, and I don't think we need to go over a history lesson into what happened, but they flat out lied about what was going on. It clearly wasn't, you know, I don't know how to describe it more, but, like, it clearly wasn't.
And that definitely wasn't the 16-year-old kids in the U.S. Fault either. It was, like, four people at the U.S. government.
And if you think the U.S. didn't commit as many war crimes as Russia's committing right now in the Ukraine, you're kidding yourself. Like, let's be honest, right? Thousands and thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of civilian casualties. So, I mean, I don't agree that they should have banned them. I'm sure there's people out there that agree.
I also don't think it has much of an impact. It just impacts these poor kids more than anything. Like, obviously, Putin doesn't care about these bans because it hasn't done anything.
I mean, all it does is piss off the kids that actually want to come to Canada and play hockey.
Did the CHL actually ban them?
Yeah. They prevented them from being drafted.
Yes.
Fucking ridiculous. That's so stupid. It's so dumb. Like, I've been saying this since the start, since the very first threat of being like, oh, yeah, we should keep – should Russians – be? I think Dominik Hasek said something really stupid at the beginning.
Yeah, he
did. I think we talked about it on the podcast where he said, you know, they should be kicked out of the league or at least put on pause until this is resolved. Like, that's insane.
You'd get your shit sued too, like, so fast.
Yeah. I mean, from just like a moral or like common sense perspective, I watched a TikTok once and it was like the United States had been part of 50 military occupations across involved in military occupations across like 50 different countries in the last 50 years or something like ridiculous. It's asinine that we think.
And this isn't like a, you know, we don't have to be shitting on the US here.
No,
to be
Canada's
saying,
involved.
Yeah, Canada's done. That's what I was going to say next. Like, every country has done all these shitty things that, and there's certainly tons of people that deserve to be punished or deserve some bad karma for the crap that they did. The 16-year-old kids in those countries are not a part of like what the retribution should be.
And then they want these kids to like speak out about against their president. And
especially they didn't do it for NHL players who are adults. Let's add that in. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So 16-year-olds, you get banned. But the adults who probably voted for him, again, don't think we should be banning them either. Not saying we ban Ovechkin all of a sudden. It's like, where's the logic there? Like, why is Ovechkin – I mean, we know why Ovechkin's allowed in the league. It's because he's a star, and they're not going to ban all these Russian players because they're stars, right? NHL without Kucherov and Ovechkin and Malkin and all these guys sucks.
Would be a worse product for
sure.
But
it's like they're just like, okay, no, the adults aren't culpable, but the 15-year-old, 16-year-old kids that have never voted a day in their life, they're fine. Like, you guys go and you guys get banned, but the adults, no. Like,
and now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And now we'll get back into the show.
Like, and the whole, all the language I see about it is, it's different because Russia is trying to, like, thinks Ukraine's theirs and they're trying to occupy it. Like, no. And all the language, if they ever use the word sovereign nation, Eric, you did political science, so you know the sovereign nation is one of the most bullshit terms ever. Like, the all these international treaties are created, and sure, there's fines, but there's no actual, like, real punishment for breaking a lot of these treaties. Like, a lot of it is just fake political, geopolitical.
It's symbolic. Like, everything's symbolic. Yeah, symbolic. You know, if you look at, like, the Paris Climate Accords, all the countries signed on, 10% of them, 5% of them might hit their targets, even though they committed to it, right? Like, you can't, these aren't binding agreements and all this stuff. Like, they're just, exactly.
It's all arbitrary. Symbolic. It's so arbitrary. And if you look at, like, what is classified as a sovereign nation, it's almost always Western colonized countries, if anything, or just like European centric or whatever that term is. I forget the term right off my head. And it's like, it's not countries in Africa, it's not like Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran, it's like the typical Eurocentric ones that everyone knows of, or ones that were invaded by, like, Spain, England, all those ones that are called sovereign nations, not the ones with actual political problems and regimes that are corrupt. And anyone that looks at, I mean, yes, there's different levels of corruption and tyrannism and all that stuff, authoritarianism, which Russia is definitely at the top of. I look at every country and I see every politician as corrupt. Like, that's just my initial thought process when I see all this. Like, everyone's speaking for their own self-interest. Everyone's indoctrinated, whether you grew up going to public school, homeschooled, in the church, not in the church. Everyone has some level of indoctrination to them. And the 15-year-olds in a censored world in Russia are indoctrinated just like kids in
the U.S., Canada,
Florida,
like,
or Texas are indoctrinated into their own ways of thinking. Just how Martin, Eric, and I are indoctrinated. I don't – like, it's so dumb.
Yeah. There's – like, if you look at the tweets, quote tweets and everything, there's clearly, like, one side or the other. There's very few people in the middle of this. And I think that that's a good reason for nobody being in the middle of it, which is, like, this is very much, like, a all-or-nothing situation, like, ban or not ban.
Yeah. Right?
And I think anyone reasonable should be on not ban. Like, I just can't see – I can't understand the argument for doing it. Like, I just can't get it.
Imagine the outcry. Imagine the claims that would be made if – because the Israeli and Israel-Palestine conflict, we were just like, you know what? Israelis aren't allowed into America anymore.
Yeah,
exactly. That would be the most, like, anti-Semitic thing. They'd just be throwing around that term all the time, right?
For sure.
I get that it's not for equal, sure. And but I mean, like, more attention has been...
No, Luke, you're 100%. That's a really good comparison there. That's an amazing comparison. Imagine if the CHL was, like, you know, during the war, not a war, but the conflicts between Palestine and Israel. You know, Israel's definitely committed war crimes. 100%. Like, and it's not anti-Semitic to say it because it's true. Okay. You could still support Israel and still admit that they've done some shit that probably isn't okay.
You can also not support Israel and not be anti-Semitic. Yeah, that too. I don't know if people can connect those dots, but that is very true.
But if you're so right, if the CHL banned Israelis because of that, it would be a complete shit show. Like every single writer would be saying they're anti-Semitic and all this, and they, you know, I'm not sure if you could say they are being anti-Semitic, but it kind of, I can almost see. You making the argument?
It would, the language would shift. There would be a huge language shift because there's a lot. There's a lot.
And it
of
would be hard to criticize
Israelis in politics and law.
And it would be hard to criticize the people saying it's anti-Semitic to ban Israel too, because you're like, there's no reason to be banning these 16-year-old kids.
Yeah, and I would be like, I'm against banning Israelis, even though I am supportive of Palestine. I am not going to be like, let's ban Israelis from entering the country.
Yeah.
Like that's stupid.
Israelis in general, but also the 15-year-old kids that have nothing to do with it in the first place.
Yeah. I'm like, bro, let's get realistic.
So anyways, it's so ridiculous. Like what reading some of these comments, like, so this guy's like, you really think that Russia's genocide of Ukrainians and systematic rape of women is comparable to the war in Iraq? Like,
yes.
And this guy's like, not even close to the same thing, Ken.
100% way more people have died in Afghanistan than Ukraine.
And I don't even think I need to do the math. This one guy's responses is basically, for one, the U.S. wasn't trying to steal an entire country while threatening others, not part of NATO, that they are next. Seems like a pretty big difference, but feel free to tell me how it's the same.
One guy commented, I bet Ken still wears a mask in public. what a diss, bro.
Good one.
Anyways,
we can move on from this. It's just
I hate giving any time of day to that conversation because I think anyone that supports it is instantly an idiot. Like there's very few opinions where I'm like, I won't hear you out. That is one where I'm like,
yeah, I can't even think of the
justification.
Argument. Yeah, there's no like I can sometimes see justification for other things. More than sometimes, but like that, I'm just like, it just.
Yeah, there's way worse things that I can see more justification for.
This next topic I can see justification for, which is
the 3-2-1.
Yeah, 3-2-1. So obviously, I think hockey is literally just the same arguments year after year, just slightly different with slightly different players. Like it's all the exact same arguments. Like I think we could record like 20 episodes and cover each argument and then just change the player names in it and it would and team names and it would be the same things basically. And so this argument is about, again, Florida has I think 13 overtime wins, maybe 14, maybe their 14th the other day, 13 or 14, and that means they haven't been winning in regulation. That means they've been dominating 3-on-3. I don't know if, I mean, that is definitely because they have a really good group of players for 3-on-3, specifically Barkov, Huberto, Duclair's really great. Sam Bennett's been pretty good. There's a whole bunch of guys. We're back to the whole argument of should a regulation win be valued more than an overtime win? Should you get the same amount of points for an overtime win as you do a regulation win? Loser point, all this kinds of stuff. Should the overtime loser still get a point? To begin with, and this whole argument's been popped up again. What do you guys think? How should the point system work?
Martin, you go.
Martin, you go first.
I don't know, man. I don't really care. Like, to be honest, I think it works the way it does. I think the bigger problem is playoff formatting, but that's neither here nor there. Like, Florida still has the biggest goal differential of any team in the league, by like 10 goals. So they're scoring a lot. They're winning games because they're better than most teams. So I don't think.
Do you think that an overtime win, regardless if you want to change the whole point system or not, do you think an overtime win should be as valuable as a regulation win?
Do you win
and then
the game?
I want your answer, and then I'll give you the counterpoint.
Do you win the game?
You win the game, sure.
Yeah.
You're winning in overtime versus regulation.
So what? If you win by one point, one goal in regulation, you won the game.
Okay. Do you think the loser of overtime should get a point?
I think shootout. Maybe if you go to a shootout, you get 2 points. And you bring it up to three for win in regulation and overtime. But shootout is just a crapshoot.
And so
that's again, an interesting point. Because we do have, yeah. We still have ROWs, right? And like ROWs are typically the regulation overtime wins, which are tiebreakers. So, mm-hmm. I mean, clearly they're valued more than a shootout win is.
Shootout wins are complete crapshoots. Like,
yeah.
There's no, I mean, I would say 3-on-3
hockey. But do you think the loser should still get a point for both regulation or overtime loss and shootout loss?
Well, if you did my shootout loss way, then yes, the team should get a point, and then the other team would get one less point than a real win. But if you did. If the other way, if you're in overtime, they shouldn't get a point because it's you lost by a goal. You still lost.
Interesting.
Luke, what do you think?
I think for a shootout, I feel so bad for the goalie that I think the goalie should get a point regardless. Quite honestly, I feel so bad for the goalies that I'm just like, honestly, here's a point for your team. I'm okay with it. I would like a 3-2-1 model. Just because, and I don't want a 3-2-1 model for any other reason. Like, I don't think an overtime loss or win should count as less. I want better hockey during regulation.
I agree.
That's my sole reason.
That was my only point.
Yeah. Like, that's what I would rather have. I'd rather see two teams fighting for that extra point in the last 3 minutes, knowing that it's worth something. And, like, especially in the game like Dallas versus Vegas last night, right? Like, I think that would be way more interesting.
Yeah, or it's way more interesting than a shootout that lasted, what, 14 rounds or something?
That was two teams already fighting for a very close playoff spot. Imagine how insane that would have been if, like, the winner got 3 points and the loser got two or whatever. I mean, I guess it's still one. No, it would be 3-0. Yeah. So, like, that would be literally the difference between what the points were in the regular season, right? So I think that would be like the perfect example of when you see it. I think overtime wins, as I agree with Martin, they're both wins, but in order to make the end of regulation worthwhile, you need to punish an overtime win. That's it. Like, that's what it comes down to, I think, for me.
I agree. And like Luke said, regulation needs to be more interesting, especially towards the end of tied games. The end of tied games are some of the most boring hockey to watch throughout the game. And you can prove that by, you know, again, the stats. Offense drops by like 30 to 50% the last 10 minutes of a tied game.
Mm-hmm.
So that means both teams are coasting. Both teams are just coasting, right? Whereas if you get an extra point, there's going to be some teams that are like, okay, like we gotta score a goal here, right?
I think would you see more Patrick Waugh type 10 minute pull the goalie type stuff? Would you see, okay, you know, we're on a power play with a minute left, and do we pull our goalie in a tied game? Or like, what would you kind of see? I would be like interested.
Teams that need that 3 points.
Yeah,
especially towards the end of the season, I think that's when you start seeing tied games pull goalies. You wouldn't see it at the beginning of the middle of the year. You'd see it towards the end with the teams that really need to get that 3 points for sure.
I think there would be some.
Coach would have the balls to do that for winning.
Yeah, I think Cooper is one of the coaches that would have the balls to do that type of move.
But teams would for sure, regardless, optimize for the 3 points. Right, like that would regardless of pulling goalies, that probably won't happen, especially beginning middle of the year. But what will happen is teams pushing, because 3 points is very different than 2 points over the course of 20. Like if Florida, those 10 games that they won in overtime, or 13 games they won in overtime, were 2 points instead of three.
Yeah,
That's 13 points they're losing over the course of the season. Right, that moves them from first to what, like. sixth,
probably still first, but it would be conference. It would probably still be first, but the Leafs could have pushed for first over the course of the last 3 weeks or something like that.
I mean, yeah, but there's also the difference of the teams that did win those games. You're right.
Because, I mean, I think Florida's been in one in overtime the most, but other teams would still have four pretty or five overtime wins.
Yeah.
Right?
You're right.
And then Florida's still, 8 points up on Toronto. So the difference would be, 0 points to maybe two. But still, that's one win in a three-point system.
Exactly. And by the way, this is the first time all playoff teams in the Eastern Conference all had 100 points. Ever. This first time insane. In NHL history.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. That's an insane year.
It's a every very top,
single I mean, Eastern it's Conference very top playoff heavy. Team.
Yeah,
all had 100 points, and then the
top eight teams are 100 to 120, and then literally ninth place is 18 points behind eighth place.
And that's the Islanders?
Yeah.
Like it's brutal. The only interesting thing has been playing for second or third in the division or the Dallas Vegas shenanigans that have been going on.
That's kind of basic.
Man, DeBoer, we could talk about Vegas because Vegas and DeBoer have been interesting. DeBoer saying Leonard's on the bench. He's not going for season ending surgery despite every report being that the guy's going for season ending surgery.
I feel like it's one of those things where Vegas will feel like they have to do a change and it's probably DeBoer will be the fall guy, so he'll probably get canned and he's like, fuck this, this sucks because I've had to deal with shitty injuries all year and I'm gonna get canned.
He doesn't deserve to lose his job. I don't think
he might. They're not gonna trade a whole bunch of players. I don't know
Vegas might be the team that would trade for Marc-Andre Fleury or something like that. I meant Carey
Price.
That
would be incredible.
They could trade for Price. I could see that.
Vegas is always that team that's willing to pull a move. So, I mean, they have nothing, no assets, I don't think. But it's interesting nonetheless. I don't know. I think Vegas is. I don't really get everyone celebrating their demise. I mean,
yeah,
because everyone has. It's only the fans. It's only the fans of teams that have lost to them in the playoffs. Or teams that suck and haven't had any success.
I think a lot of people are just jealous.
I'm feeling a lot of hate from the Leafs.
Yeah,
Leafs
the success fans. Exactly, but we haven't been successful. Successful. You won't see any Tampa fans cheering about Vegas because Tampa has been successful.
Doesn't give a shit.
Right. It's going to be primarily Western Leafs, Conference. Yeah, but the Leafs haven't been successful. Vegas has. They've been in the playoffs more, or they've won more rounds in 4 or 5 years than the Leafs in the last 30 or whatever, 20-something years. So obviously Leafs fans are going to be upset, right? But Penguins fans probably don't give a shit, right? They won their cups. Chicago fans, maybe they gave a shit because they're in the same conference. I don't know, but... The only fans that care are the teams that haven't had any success at all. And Columbus fans probably just hate them because
have fans?
I mean, that's also a good point. But if they do have fans, they're probably like, what the fuck? We haven't had any success at all. The entire existence of our franchise and their expansion team too, right? And then I'm sure Seattle fans are going to hate Vegas because they're like, oh, okay, we got an expansion team and we're like third last or whatever in the league.
I would hate whoever did their expansion draft. That was shit.
Everyone directs their anger towards the wrong thing. They're directing their anger towards Vegas when they should be directing it towards their own players and management and coaches and everything else.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I just think it's ridiculous that everyone was cheering for Vegas to lose. I'm like, I think the playoffs are better with Vegas in it, but
the playoffs are better with Vegas.
I don't want to see it. I don't want to see a team with negative goal differential in the playoffs. I don't. That doesn't make for good hockey. Dallas is a -9 goal differential.
Yeah, the good thing about Dallas is they got Roope Hintz and Jason Robertson.
Yeah. They're going to face Colorado or they're going to face Colorado or potentially Calgary, I guess, and they're going to be swept. Like, I'm sorry, Dallas is
they're not
gonna competing for they're do well. No, I don't think they're going to go on a Cinderella run at all.
I mean, they could always go on a Cinderella run. It happens.
They're not going to. Who's their goalie? Well. Is it Braden Holtby still?
Is it all injured? Has been playing the most?
I'm not sure, honestly. I can be honest and say I've watched seen Dallas play 3 times this year, probably, at most.
But 2 against the Leafs and that's it?
No, probably like 1 against the Leafs. Actually, yeah, probably 2 against the Leafs and then like 1 other time.
Yeah, their main goalie is Ottinger.
Yeah, so I mean...
Anyways, moving on from Dallas.
Was there anything else we wanted to talk about? The NHL PA player vote. Oh, yeah, Stamkos.
Stamkos hit 100 points, so Ty was very wrong on him. I was the one saying... What did Ty say? Ty said he was done,
yeah,
basically. I was saying Stamkos could still come back, and I think I was right in the end because he put up 100 points. He had 80 points 7 games ago.
I know.
So that's a nice clean 20-point run to finish the year in 7.
Yeah, he's 20 points
which
in his last
bad
7
for
games.
The Leafs.
That's what I said.
You don't want Stamkos heating up.
I pointed that out today in the group chat. I said
in 20 points in 7 games.
I'm scared. Kucherov has also been dominant, man. Kucherov, I think I looked him up like a week ago.
He always steps it up in the playoffs. Vasilevsky always steps it up in the playoffs.
I don't want Tampa. I've never wanted Tampa. I've always wanted Boston.
Yeah. Boston was
Boston without Tuukka Rask and Zdeno Chara. I'm sorry. Like, give me that.
Yeah. Give me that for sure. Yeah.
I don't want Tampa. The only thing I'm hoping on is Tampa's legs run out, but it's a shortened season. The first year they won, and then Kucherov's got to be pretty fresh. I mean, he hasn't played the last season and a half, so
I don't really get the whole they've gone deep in the playoffs. Like, maybe their legs are going to run out. Like, man, they're fucking athletes. Like,
yeah, but that's an extra like 40 games. Over the course of
and then you get 2.5 months off. Well, I don't know, off, but like
you're partying when you win.
Yeah, they spend a month and a half partying, so really
they
get
like 20. They got 20 pounds of beer in them.
Yeah,
but also like the whole bottom six
changed
didn't
over.
Win. So
all those
guys.
True. There's a good quarter to third of the roster that wasn't in that team last time.
Yeah. But I mean, Corey Perry went to the same distance as them last year.
Yeah, that's true too.
I don't know. I don't want Tampa. I mean, I didn't want Tampa, and especially now that Stamkos and Kucherov are heating up. Hedman's
Stamkos
got,
20
points, I think.
In 7 games, man.
Dude, that's scary.
Imagine that against freaking Mrazek and Jack Campbell for a series. That's horrifying.
Thank God Mrazek's injured.
Shouldn't
man.
We
Thank
be
God.
Doing our playoff predictions considering the playoffs will be a week in next time this was released?
Yeah, but they're not set.
Yeah, but like...
Maybe we can do an episode
on
like Monday
night. We can do
an episode...
Yeah, I'm gonna be in Mexico,
and then we just release early next week. I don't
but
know.
I'll show up for that.
Let's do Tuesday night.
I think the playoffs start Monday night.
I know they do, but I have
no.
What's a one night difference then?
I have a draft Monday night, a playoff draft.
Well, Martin, what's the difference between a Tuesday and a Wednesday night?
I don't know. Do it the Tuesday and release it the Wednesday.
You think
that's a lot of editing for Luke in a 24-hour period.
I mean, it doesn't really take me that long, but it's still cutting and chopping and stuff on a Tuesday night that I don't want to do. Especially if there's going to be a Leafs game on. I'm not recording during a Leafs game, bro.
It's a good point.
You can lick my nuts about that one. Yeah. Okay, so we talked about that. The
what was
NHL
the
NHLPA player vote came out, voting on like what goalie do you want on your team in a one win in a must-win game? What player do you want? Do you want to talk about it or nah?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
It's just the more than 500 NHL players were surveyed on 15 hockey-related questions during the regular season. Players weighed in on a variety of topics, including questions on the most complete player, the players that they dread facing.
Oh, sure. Let's
most.
Hear some of the interesting ones if you have it open.
Okay. So if you need to win one game, who is the goalie you would want to work? Who is the goalie you would want on your team?
Is the answer?
Martin, what's your guess?
If I had to pick, I would pick Vasilevsky.
I would say they're saying Vasilevsky by now.
Vasilevsky's first at 37.4%. Yeah. Carey Price, despite not playing all year, is at 13.9%.
Oh, good.
And then Marc-Andre Fleury is third with 6.7%.
Wow. So, no Hellebuyck at all, eh? The disrespect.
Fourth is Gibson. Fifth is Markstrom. Sixth is Quick.
Somehow. Wait, so Hellebuyck didn't even make the top five?
And seven is Saros. He didn't make the list, no.
Saros is number seven?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
How is Quick on that list at all?
No, see, that's just proof that NHL players do not watch NHL games.
No, they don't understand. Yeah.
Quick is from like a decade ago.
Yeah.
I know.
Almost a decade
ago. If you need to win one game, who is the one skater you would want on your team?
I'm going to go with McDavid on that.
They probably all said McDavid.
42.4% said McDavid. Who's second?
Matthews.
Crosby?
Crosby second. 17.3%. Third is Hedman. Fourth is Barkov. Yeah.
Fourth is Barkov. What?
And fifth is McKinnon. There's no Matthews on this list.
Oh, okay, good. 60 goal scorer Austin Matthews here.
Yeah, like
don't need him to win it. You don't need him to win a game.
I mean, I think this is it's ridiculous.
Why is Hedman on that list?
Bro, who knows?
Interesting. Especially recently, considering McCarr's been better the last 2 years. And Adam Fox has been better the last 2 years, too.
Well, and Josie is having an unbelievable defensive year this year.
Yeah, Josie's on a 100-point pace, or was on a almost 100-point pace.
Yeah, I don't think he'll get there, right?
No, I don't
think so. Unless he's a sick last two games.
He's at 92 or something.
Oh, he could do it.
nice 8
Who
points
is the best stick handler?
Patrick Kane, I'm guessing.
It's normally Patrick Kane.
Yeah, Patrick Kane first at 57.3%.
Wait, so second. Who's Martin? Second? No.
Cooch.
Johnny Hockey?
McDavid, 22.8%.
I thought McDavid was the easy guess. I wanted
third is deeper. McKinnon at 5.3%. Fourth is Barkov.
What?
Fifth is Johnny Hockey. And sixth is Austin Matthews.
Matthews made a list.
I know.
Wait, McKinnon and okay. I don't know about that.
Who is the best passer?
Is this including defensemen?
Yes.
Best passer.
I believe so.
I mean, I feel like Kane will be up there. I feel like Thornton won't be up there anymore. Crosby might be up there. If I'm going defensemen that are up there, I'm going to guess Erik Karlsson.
Martin, what's your guess?
McDavid.
First is Leon Draisaitl. Oh, second is Patrick Kane.
Yeah.
Okay, so third is Backstrom.
Oh, Backstrom.
Yeah, he sucked all year.
Yeah, Backstrom wasn't exactly.
I mean, he was hurt, but he didn't come back very good. Marner on that list?
Nope. Fourth is McDavid and fifth is Kucherov. I don't know why some of these lists go up to seven with 1.2%, but this one goes to five with
6.2%. People are just giving McDavid every single one of these categories. I mean, he's a great passer. Don't get me wrong, but
which player do you wish you could shoot like?
Okay, so Austin Ovechkin's probably first.
Oh, Ovechkin.
Matthews is probably second. I'm guessing.
And then Draisaitl third.
Correct. It's Ovechkin first at 53.1%. Mm-hmm. Matthews second at 24%. I don't know how that's not closer.
Yeah, that should be closer.
If you're talking versatility of shot, Austin Matthews, I think, has Ovechkin trumped.
Yeah,
I agree. Laine third. Pastrnak fourth.
Laine third, really, after this last crappy couple. I mean, he still has a blistering shot, but I don't know about that.
Stamkos fifth and Kucherov sixth.
Stamkos on the list.
Yeah, I was going to. Yeah. Stamkos.
There was a point where Stamkos was going to be the best shot in the league.
If he didn't get injured so many times.
Yeah, if he didn't break his leg.
Yeah.
Who is the most complete player?
Crosby number one, Barkov number two, maybe a Hedman number three. Who else?
You're missing the number one guy. But
I'm missing number one?
Well, no, you're not missing number one, but you're missing the most common most like publicly underrated all around guy.
Bergeron,
yeah.
Crosby at first at 29.5, Barkov second at 20.5, Bergeron third at 19.5, McDavid 9.2%.
Okay.
And Anze Kopitar at 2.6%.
Oh, Kopitar's a good one. Hmm. So there's no defenseman on that list? Oh, okay.
No.
I would have thought there'd be like a Hedman or something on there.
But like, yeah. They wouldn't get on that list.
Hedman? Which NHL arena has the best ice?
I have no idea.
The Bell Center.
Bell Center?
Montreal. Second, Rogers Place, Edmonton. Third, Winnipeg.
Yeah, all the
finally Winnipeg hits a list.
Yeah,
and Las Vegas is fourth.
Oh, I think players are just too busy getting drunk. They're just like, oh, this is great, partying,
fantastic,
partying, drunk. You're like, okay, you know what? This is a good time.
We're having too much fun. How do the Leafs not have good ice? Like,
yeah, they probably spend money. More than all of them.
It's Primarily, I think it's just the interchanging of the basketball court to a
That's
hockey
actually
rink.
A good point. Maybe.
I don't think other Canadian
switching
team
that
has
over
to do that.
In Montreal or in.
But Montreal probably has like concerts, but they probably Montreal's just cover the ice.
Well, they all have concerts.
Yeah.
Basketball covers the ice too.
Do they?
They just put it on top. Pretty sure. Oh. I remember seeing a video, a time lapse.
I thought they like literally removed the ice.
No.
I thought they removed it.
No, they don't remove it. They just put everything up on top, I'm pretty sure.
Interesting.
I could be wrong. I mean, I feel like I remember seeing a video, time lapse.
Okay, now some off ice stuff. Where is the best NHL road city to spend it on an off day?
Vegas.
Nashville.
Vegas is first at 30.6. New York second.
Yeah, New York.
Fort Lauderdale third. Yeah. Surprise the tie, probably because of golf. Los Angeles
Beach
is
golf,
fourth.
Yeah.
And then Nashville is fifth.
Yeah. All those make sense. It's all the cities that people want to be in.
Mm-hmm. Warm. Country singers. Which NHL player could make it in another sport? This one's all over the place. You're not going to be able to
guess
these ones.
There's going to be guys that play baseball.
It's like the highest one is first, or highest one is 4.4%. Joe Pavelski, golf. Anders Lee, football. I think he was actually like a quarterback at his university.
True.
Maybe.
Like, or high school.
There's like, probably a couple. I saw one guy was a baseball player.
A lot of hockey players are baseball players.
Yeah. Zdeno Chara, basketball. Greg McKegg, golf. Clayton Keller, golf. Most of these guys are golf and football.
Chara, basketball.
Yeah. Martin Reeves, football. Gustav
Nyquist, there was exactly that much thought that went into it. Yeah. For sure.
Well, he's also athletic as fuck.
Yeah.
All right. Four more questions here. These ones are player personality.
Okay.
I don't know what this question has to do with personality, but which NHL player has the best hockey hair?
Ooh, Carlson's probably there somewhere.
Say again.
Carlson. No, Carlson.
Cody Eakin is first.
I don't even know what that is.
It's disgusting, man.
I don't even know what his hair looks like.
8.9. I'm looking at it right now, man. 8.9%.
It's so gross.
It's gross.
Well, that's why
William Carlson.
Oh, no. You're not actually serious.
Yeah, man. It's voted first. They love that cheddar.
Wow. Okay.
I don't even think you can call that lettuce because he's a ginger. William Carlson is second. Eric Carlson's third.
Ah, I did get one.
John Merrill's fourth. He's got a nice.
Know who John Merrill is.
He's on Minnesota. And then Brandon Tanev is fifth. Which NHL player is the best follow on social media?
None.
Sagan? I don't even know.
None.
No. PK Subban is first.
PK Subban.
With 16.3%. Matthews is second with 11.8%. Brad Marchand is fourth. And Jonathan Huberdeau is...
Brad Marchand should be up there.
Brad Marchand
sure.
is third. Jonathan Huberdeau is fourth.
Brad Marchand should definitely be there. After
I've
his
never
little Twitter
seen anything from Huberdeau.
Me neither. I've only seen stuff from his agent.
Yeah. Like, never seen anything from Huberdeau.
Robert Walsh?
Yeah. Alan Walsh.
Alan Walsh. Okay. Yeah.
Which NHL player is the best role model?
I don't know if I can even
Someone know. Obscure guy.
Wait, Luke, give us a clue. Give us a clue. By the book. Let's see if we can guess this.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Crosby.
Crosby.
It's Crosby. They're just like good Canadian boy Crosby. No controversy. Yeah.
Yeah. Crosby's first. Bergeron second. It's like 43% for Crosby, then 10% for Bergeron, who's second.
Yes.
I thought Bergeron had some stories where he was a dickhead.
Connor McDavid's third.
Connor McDavid is going to be the next good boy. He's going to be the next Crosby in that sense.
You know, Marc-Andre Fleury's fourth.
Good Canadian boy.
And then my last question on this poll, and then we can finish, is which non-NHL athlete would you like to trade places for a day?
There's going to be I feel like LeBron's probably one of them.
Just think of like the most dominant person in the top five sports.
Tom Brady.
LeBron, Tom Brady, probably got like Tiger Woods or something like that.
Tom Brady first, Tiger Woods second, LeBron James third, Roger Federer fourth.
Yeah.
Then Cristiano Ronaldo fifth.
Yeah, I was going to Ronaldo. I was going to guess Ronaldo over Messi too, because Ronaldo's got that.
Yeah, Ronaldo's way more publicized.
Exactly. Ronaldo's
very more. I'm something about coaches on here.
Which coach do you hate the most?
Yeah.
Which coach is the biggest dick? Those would be the questions I'd be asking.
I feel like they've asked that the questions about. Man, I'm looking at last year's vote. I'm looking at last year's vote, and 50% said Ovechkin had the best shot, and then 30% said Austin Matthews had the best shot. But more people than that want Ovechkin's shot, and less people than that want Matthews shot.
Having a 60-goal year. Actually, to be fair, whenever they ran this poll, maybe Ovechkin was still kind of at the top of the goal scoring charts, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Possible.
Last year, Matthews was voted as the most fashionable, so he's got that going for him.
It is hard to vote against Ovechkin when he is close to beating.
Well, if you look at expected goals, Austin Matthews scored 18 goals above expected, whereas Ovechkin was at like 10 or something. So if you just look purely at that shooting aspect, Matthews was quite a bit ahead this year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well,
actually, they voted last year on regional divisions being carried forward, and most of the league said no. And then they asked, would you like to see a series style schedule carried forward? And most said yes.
A what?
That would actually be interesting.
A series?
So I think it's like you play three games in a row against the same team. Like
baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't like that.
I think it'd be interesting. Less travel.
I think I don't know. Baseball works because you see them again later in the year because they play so many games, right?
Like, yeah, I know. So you'd have to play like two games in Dallas, then two games like in like that wouldn't work with Western Conference teams, right?
Yeah, because you only play them twice, anyways.
Yeah. So, anyways,
you could do series that's it for this week, division. Folks.
Yeah.
Elon Musk just tweeted, next I'm buying Coca-Cola to put the cocaine back in. he's such a troll. It's so funny.
There's a funny one. I don't think it's a real tweet, but it got like photoshopped or something. And because Elon Musk went to Queens in Kingston, and the strip club in Kingston has been closed like since before the pandemic, and it's for sale. And he's like, Next, I'm buying the Plaza in Kingston.
Did you just say you think it's Photoshopped?
Like, I've been sent it by multiple people. So I'm like,
it's guys. Definitely Photoshopped, but that's also bold.
But he would know about it, right? Because it existed when he went to Queens. So he would definitely
know. Would he know about it?
He said he went to Queens for the bitches. Like, that's a real comment he made. So I think he knows about the strip club.
This guy is so crazy. Like, I think he's so funny. I honestly don't. My favorite tweet ever has been everyone being like, $44 billion could end homelessness in America. And it's like, bro, what do you think the government does with $3 trillion a year? Why aren't they ending homelessness, bro? Like, oh my God, it's so funny. They're spending your money to not end homelessness. Like, well,
they're calling him out because Musk like tweeted at that one guy earlier, like last year.
Yeah, because they said he said $6 billion will end world hunger, and he's like, "What's your plan?" And I don't think the guy ever responded with
a plan. Yeah, I saw conflicting reports about that because someone else like, brought that up.
Like how? What like? Six people just throw arbitrary numbers out there without any plan, being like
$14 billion, and you solve world hunger.
Imagine creating a budget with $14 billion.
Yeah,
what are you doing? Are you saying, like, are you, like when people say $44 billion to end homelessness, are you being like, let's build a 10,000 person condo right here and just fill it with homeless people? Like what is your plan?
Yeah,
how do you make a budget for $14 billion?
And on top of that, if it was just
$14 trillion,
and if it was just $14 billion to end world hunger, the U.S. spends $14 billion in like half a day.
Yeah,
it's like, insane. Literally. Like that's not people, a big people thinking that the thing, like people thinking like it's gonna be $15 billion. You just toss $15 billion and you solve world hunger are fucking idiots. Like
that is like
no if scenario you wanna, in which that's true.
If people want to talk about $44 billion and Elon Musk should spend that on ending homelessness, that is literally the responsibility of the government.
Yeah.
Like, so you're going to put on someone something that's not, they're not responsible for, and then completely avoid the accountability of the government and associations and agencies that are actually supposed to.
Yeah. Give them, and by the way, the U.S. has much bigger budget than Elon Musk has.
Yeah. It's like,
it's way bigger.
If the American budget is $3 trillion, that's like that's 10 times the wealth. Yeah, a year. That's 10 times the wealth of Elon Musk as a group in his life. That isn't even like liquid asset.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like people just don't have brains. I swear to God.
Elon had to borrow money against his shares money.
And he had to borrow so much money against his shares that Tesla stock went down because they're like, yo, you can get margin called and have to freaking sell a shit ton of your shares and the value would just crash. Mm-hmm. Like,
I don't know. I don't love Elon, but I definitely don't hate the guy.
I'm I don't get why people are like, look, I get why some people don't like him. I don't get why people vehemently hate him. Like he's not doing anything like that bad. Like he's just a troll. He's like if a 15-year-old got $100 billion.
Like, yeah.
Except he's actually smart and does good things. Ignoring that side of things. Yeah. Like on Twitter, he's just like a 15-year-old like that just got Twitter and he's like, I'm gonna do whatever the fuck I want. Like I can say whatever I want. Yeah.
People just act like Twitter will be a breeding ground for alt-right or something, and I'm like, guys, they're going somewhere anyways. Whether it's here or wherever, like,
yeah.
I get you don't want hate and all that stuff.
Also, if they do allow it to happen, they're that's not get on the responsibility in, like, of Europe and shit. Anyways, they're not going to get banned here, but in Europe, they're very tight about that stuff.
Yeah.
So, Twitter will just get banned if they really turn it into fucking.
People just want their own safety bubbles, man. Happen. Like, it's safe spaces are one of the most ridiculous sayings I've ever heard, and I still pretty don't ridiculous. Really like it to this day, but. I mean, come on, people.
You could get into so many just like examples of idiots and their safety bubbles.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, like Twitter employees are freaking out, which they probably kind of should be because
they're
going to fire like half of them.
A whole bunch of them. Within
a whole bunch of them. Yeah. You know, the transaction's not going to go through for like a year.
But that would happen in any change of ownership.
Yeah,
it's not just because Elon is a bad guy.
Also, people are probably only scared if you suck as an employee because he gets rid of
it's
people
clear
that
a
don't
lot
work
of them
well.
Clearly suck because Twitter's stock hasn't moved up in 10 years. It went public 10 years ago almost and they're flat. Anyways, this is a whole other fucking podcast topic altogether.
Anyways, that's it. Next week we'll bring you playoff previews. Either Tuesday,
and
Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday.
One of those days.
One of those days. It will be out. We don't know yet which one it will be, but it definitely won't be on the Instagram because the Instagram is dead.
You know what? For playoff predictions, I will make a commitment to post that episode on the story once it comes.
Wow. What a commitment.
I'm,
way to go,
I'm
man.
Like,
I thought you were
going to
be like,
I posted
I'm
the
make
last
post.
Three on the story.
Oh, have you?
I know.
I didn't even
but
know
if you're not posting every day, those stories don't really drive much attention.
Yeah, they don't get like.
They still get like 2,000 views. Like.
Yeah, but we used to get like 8,000 views.
I know, Eric.
Anyways, goodbye.
Thank you everyone for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.